Welcome to Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. Many thanks, member supporters. I'm Gary Hickling. On this edition of Singing and Other Sins, we'll celebrate the birthday of Claude Debussy, born August 22, 1862. I'll tell you about his place in the history of classical music and especially in French music after we hear one of his early songs. This is Angelus, in which the rocking of the harmony represents the tolling of the Angelus bells. But these are not happy sounds. This man is sorrowful and resigned. You can read all the words and translations for tonight's songs at hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins. Now, Debussy's Les Angelus.
Cloche chrétienne pour les matines, sonnant ton cœur d'espérer encore. Angélis, Angélis et d'aurore, la
That was Debussy's Les Angelus with tenor Darren Chase and Mark Cogley piano. Now we'll hear a choral arrangement of that same song. That was Debussy's Les Angelus, but not the voice and piano original, but a transcription for choral group. This was Accentus, conducted by Laurence Echilbi. I do want you to hear this song again in its original form, this time with Christopher Maltman and Malcolm Martineau. Don't forget to check the translations available at hawaiipublicradio.org/singinganothersins.
Cloche chrétienne pour les matines, sonne ton cœur d'espérer encore.
That was Debussy's Les Angelus with Christopher Maltman, baritone, and Malcolm Martineau, piano. You're listening to Singing in Other Sins and a celebration of Debussy's birthday. There's every reason to celebrate because Debussy was one of the most important composers in French music and in classical music in general. He broke many barriers in his use of scales, often whole tone, chords and harmonies that prefigured bitonality. And for those of us interested in song, Debussy was able to fit the poetry to his music with almost speech-like fluency. Listen what he does with Baudelaire's poem Le Jeu d'Eau, or The Fountains. It's said that Baudelaire's words are difficult to set to music because there's already a lot of music in them. It's also complex poetry. Just the meaning of the words can be difficult to comprehend, much less translate. In Le Jeu d'Eau, we're hearing a lover's words spoken at night after the passing of pleasure, all witnessed by a fountain. Her soul, like the fountain, leaps up and falls back. All is languor and melancholy.
Thank you.
That was Felicity Lott, soprano, with Graham Johnson, piano, in Debussy's Le Jeu d'Eau, or The Fountain. The piano interlude now is from Debussy's Image, called Reflets dans l'eau, Reflections in the Water.
Thank you.
That was Reflet dans l'eau, Reflections in the Water, from Debussy's Images, played by Pierre-Laurent Aimard. Now we'll hear Le Jeu d'eau, or The Fountain, the song, called Mélodie in French, that we heard in its original voice and piano format, now orchestrated. If you can get to your computer, you can follow the translation and hear the program by streaming. First, just go to Hawaii Public Radio and start the streaming, and then go to Singing in Other Sins for the translations. Now sit back and enjoy the orchestrated version of the very sexy Le Jeu d'eau, or The Fountain.
Still,
That was Allison Hagley, soprano with the Cleveland Orchestra, conducted by Pierre Boulez, in Debussy's own orchestration of Le Jeu d'Eau, or The Fountain. We'll hear that combo again in a few minutes after we hear the piano version of Debussy's Trois Ballades de François Villon. Usually, Debussy set contemporary poets, but he enjoyed the greater strictness of meter and classical poise that he found in the early works, such as Villon. In the first of these songs, the Ballad of Villon to a Friend, the friend here, as is usual in the medieval usage, refers to a woman, his mistress. And this is what the scholar Robert Cummings writes. Here, Debussy's music fully captures the bitter mood of the text, which expresses both suffering and regret. The somewhat declamatory vocal music is offset by more melodic writing in the piano accompaniment. While Debussy is known as a subtle creator, rarely given to powerful outbursts, especially in his songs, part of this one proceeds at a forte dynamic level. The word intense applies to comparatively little of Debussy's music, but it is justified here. Unquote Robert Cummings. So let's hear this song, and as usual, I refer you to the translations at hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins.
Oh!
That was a live performance of Bernard Cresson, baritone and pianist Jean-Charles Richard, in the first of the three Debussy ballads of Villon, this one to a friend, or less delicately to his mistress, who causes him so much distress. Before you forget the rather elusive shape of this long song, let's hear it in Debussy's orchestration.
Oh.
That was the first of the three Villon ballades of Debussy, this time in Debussy's own orchestration, beautifully played by the Cleveland Orchestra conducted by Pierre Boulez. The soprano, who to my ears sounded more like a mezzo-soprano and very beautiful, was Alison Hagley. You're listening to Singing and Other Sins, a chance to celebrate the birthday of Debussy with some of his amazing songs. Remember that the poet Villon lived in the 1400s, so if you don't understand each word, it's because it's ancient French. But the translations I have for you are in modern English, so crank up the old iPad and go to hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins to find them. The second song in the set is Ballade que fait Villon à request de sa mère pour prier Notre-Dame, the ballad which inspired Villon to ask his mother to pray to the Blessed Lady. Again, I quote Dr. Cummings. The music is modal here, and Debussy manages some deft contrapuntal writing throughout, resulting in a sound world that suggests religiosity. Nothing is overdone, and the composer invokes spirituality without ever veering toward the banal. Unquote Cummings. We'll now hear Debussy's second Villon ballade, in which we're hearing the voice of a simple woman praying. We just heard Bernard Crisson baritone with pianist Jean-Charles Richard in the second of the three Debussy ballades of Villon. I always think he gets everything just right. He has a natural feeling for French songs, growing up hearing them and singing them. And now, as promised, the orchestrated version of that same song. The soprano was Alison Hagley with the Cleveland Orchestra conducted by Pierre Boulez in the second of the three Villon ballades that Debussy set. The third is pure fun, perhaps just a tad malicious. This is called the Ballade des Femmes de Paris, the Ballad of the Parisian Women. Dr. Cummings writes, Debussy portrays the loquacious Parisian women of the text with vocal writing that mimics their busy chatter and piano accompaniment that also joins in the conversation. It's all quite charming, and the glissando on the piano that ends the piece adds delicious color to the denouement. Unquote. Cummings. Even if you don't understand French, you'll get the point that the poet is comparing the women of the world with French women, and you can guess which group ends up the most chattery. You're listening to Singing in Other Sins, and a birthday celebration for Debussy. Just now we heard Bernard Cresson baritone with pianist Jean-Charles Richard in the final Debussy ballad set to the poetry of Villon. But wait, as they say on TV, there's more. The orchestrated version. De Paris, the Ballad of the Parisian Women, the third and final song of the set of Villon ballads by Debussy, performed by soprano Alison Hagley, with the Cleveland Orchestra conducted by Pierre Boulez. I hope you caught the fun of that piece. People often assume that art song means serious, slow, and boring, and that Debussy song is certainly none of those. To end the program, I'd like you to hear another orchestrated song of Debussy, but this time, he didn't do the orchestration, rather John Williams, the composer most famous for his operas, wrote it. The song is to Baudelaire poetry, as we began this Debussy edition of Singing and Other Sins. This is Harmonie du Soir, Evening Harmony. We just heard Debussy's Harmonie du Soir, Evening Harmony, in John Adams' arrangement, sung by Susan Graham, with the BBC's Symphony Orchestra conducted by Jean-Pascal Tortelier. The beautiful mezzo-soprano voice of Graham is such a perfect sound for this song. I hope you've enjoyed this birthday celebration for Debussy. You can always let me know what you think of the program at hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins, where you can also read about the ongoing Art Song Contest and listen to previous programs at the archive link. Singing and Other Sins is the only radio program in the world featuring art songs. Next week's program celebrates the great German writer Goethe. His poetry inspired many composers, including Mozart, Beethoven, and Schubert. I hope you can tune in. I'm Gary Hickling, your host and producer. Aloha.